Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. What a day to be alive. What a time to be alive. Man, good look, throw Kevin up on there. We got a new guy in the queue. Kevin popped in here yesterday. Jared, can you pop him up on that screen? I'm concerned about myself because now we got him. Kevin, go ahead and say something so everybody can see with your tinfoil hat on there. There he is. Kevin's got him a tinfoil hat on this morning. A lot of what we talk about is tinfoily. I want you to know something. It's truth. Glad you joined us here today. We're going to give you a lot of truth. Actually, what we try to do is we try to serve up give you little servings. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I'm gradually trying to open our eyes and expose you to more and more possibilities. What do they call that? They call that hypothesis. They have a hypothesis. In order to do any type of scientific experiment, you have to first come up with a hypothesis. In other words, a hypothesis would be an idea. Why is this happening? If I was going to try to figure out why my water was running into my basement, I would come up with a hypothesis. I said, well, maybe it's coming out of the hot water heater. Maybe it's coming out of some pipes. I would come up with a hypothesis. And I would try to connect cause and effect. Say, why is this happening? There's always a reason why all of this is happening. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Well, welcome to Pass the Salt, because we dive into that stuff. We dive into the cause and effect. And I'm not here to tell you that I know everything that's going on. But I'm going to tell you that we talked a little bit about this yesterday. Man, my knower, whew, the fingers of my knower, wow. I don't want to sound holier than thou or arrogant. I don't want to sound anything. But I'm just telling you, those little what do they call those things? Those little finger projections out of your nervous system. Somebody smart, help me out. What do they call those? Villi, whatever. Whoo! They're on edge. They are on edge. And I just see stuff that's going on, and so I come here every morning and I say, hey man, here's what I see. And I try to look at the Bible, say, here's what I see. What do you think, boys and girls? And I don't know if I'm always right. But again, I'm presenting a conspiracy theory. I'm presenting a theory to you that maybe, as the scripture says, that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. It's great knowledge. Which, by the way, is why church doesn't work. And I was thinking about this yesterday as I was... I don't always watch my show. Believe it or not, sometimes watching my show makes I don't like watching me. And some of you said amen on that. Get a little nervous. Sometimes I listen to it in the background, but I don't like it sometimes, you know. But I realized yesterday that part of the problem we have in America, Christian America especially, is the idea that we have experts. And it came to my opinion. I'm going to speak at a Hear the Watchman conference on the 30th of this month, 30th, 1st, and 2nd. And I feel a little bit uncomfortable by it, not to hear the watchman so much. I don't want to become what I'm concerned about. And what I'm concerned about is Christian stars. I'm very, very concerned about that. And I get nervous even when I come on this program when I do most of the talking. Even though I understand I'm the host of it and I have to keep things moving, I get very nervous when the show's about me. Am I making sense out there, guys? Am I making sense? I don't know how else to do it.
Yep.
But it bothers me to think that people would come. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. That people would come from all over the country to an event to hear what I have to say. It makes me nervous. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside me. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside you. You have the same Holy Spirit. Now, we do know this. We all have different gifts. There's different manifestations. I understand that. We spoke the other day about summer prophets and evangelists and pastors. We spoke about all that stuff. But the last thing I ever want is for people to tune me in, tune this program in, because I'm the star of it. And all you have to do is just Google search. Just get on your computer and Google search Christian retreats. And all you'll see is these faces of these men who are speaking at these Christian events, and they're all stars. We can go watch Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland. Is that really any different than going and watching Bob Dylan? Is it any different than going and watching the Beatles? Is it really that much different from it? Joel Osteen now is actually charging admission to get to his events. Last thing I want to do is become a professional Christian. But here's part of the problem. I am one. I don't know how to work through this. I mean, I'm just bearing my heart with you here a little bit. Because of what I do, I live off the support of others. I'm not asking you for money. Relax. That makes me kind of a professional Christian. And the last thing that I ever want to do is go any place or anywhere and charge money for the gospel. I don't ever want to do that. Ever, ever, ever. But we see a lot of that going on. And I'm going to tell you something else that I don't like. I don't know the answer to it. I hate to have to go to a website and pay for the gospel. I don't want to go and have to send some guy $10 for a CD. It bothers me. I don't want to go to Hear the Watchman and set up a table and have people give me $10 for a CD. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Freely I've received, freely I give. But you do run into this dilemma. What do I do here between earning a living, being financially free to be able to do what I do, and giving everything away? Relax. I'm not asking for money. Pass the salt's fine. I'm trying to help you understand part of the problem that we have. See, you go out and you start a big ministry, and Mike can tell you, and Rich, some of the guys, Jared, I've had conversations with on here, I never wanted this to be a big ministry. Because once it becomes a big ministry, now you can't do everything. Because you can't do everything, you have to hire people who help you do it. And it's no big deal, except all of a sudden it just becomes, oh my goodness, I don't ever want it to be that way. So I have this dilemma of how to make it ministry. Am I making sense to you guys? So anyway, I don't, this past assault with Coach Dave, I don't ever want it to be about me. I just want to be able to exposit what's going on. I see real quickly that Pastor Dale Socia from down in Louisiana has joined us. So Dale, while you're in there real quick, before I get rolling into what I want to talk about, give us an update about what's going on, because there are several guys on this queue right now that are going to come and join you next week down there in the Springfield area. What's going on there, Dale?
Make sure you unmute.
Dale, you're muted. You have to unmute yourself up the little microphone up at the top there. You have to click on that thing, and that will unmute you, and then we can hear you.
He's not figured out.
He doesn't have it figured out yet. He's about like a pastor. Dale's a good tech guy. He ought to have this whole thing too. Somewhere on your phone, there's a little microphone. When you touch it and you're muted, you have to unmute yourself. Whoops, does that mean we lost him?
He closed his video.
What's that?
He turned off his video instead of the mute.
Come on, Dale, you turned off your video instead of the mute. I'm running out of time here. I'm losing my patience, Dale. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on. While you're monkeying around, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move forward a little bit here. We're going to go down there. Some of us are going to go down next week. Larry's gone down. A friend's gone down to Larry, maybe his son. Rich is going to go back down. I'm going to go back down. A lot of people are heading back down there to Louisiana. And I know what Dale wants to tell us about, something exciting that happened down there. And if he doesn't hurry up and figure out how to talk, I'm going to have to tell you the story for us. So we're going back down there, back down to Louisiana. Dale's been faithfully fighting, doing it down everything down there for for whatever. He got me distracted. He's going to call back in. I know he will. You going to get that figured out yet there, Dale? On your phone.
I think so.
There we go. Okay. Now I'll quit yelling at you. Come on, Dale. Give us an update here.
Hallelujah, brother. You're supposed to help me with all this technology stuff. I'm not good with it. No, I might play the part, but I'm not a techno guy, that's for sure. Okay. Listen, in Louisiana, I probably look like I just have been working hard and cleaning houses and feeding people. That's because I've been working hard cleaning houses and feeding people. And there's a lot going on down here. I'm trying to get into a better lighting situation.
We can hear you. That's
as I was sharing with Coach last night, we went down there. We fed about 400 people last night. Four salvations. First people that pulled up last night, two of those gentlemen received Christ. We have not just feeding these people. We have cases of Bibles and literature and tracts. And, you know, Coach, we're inside these people's cars ministering to these people. I hooked up with a local pastor evening. And it's an amazing thing because he's got this list of houses that he's wanting to gut. Great, expand your tent pegs. There's a lot more out there. There's a lot more we can do. And God used this man to actually, because I was needing cleaning supplies, prayed for it. And God dropped off cleaning supplies at his church. And he called me up and said, Dale, come get this cleaning supplies. So we have some of the teams that are coming in this weekend. He has the list of these homes. One of the gentlemen has Parkinson's disease. And is a member of his church, you know, and is trying to hang sheetrock. That doesn't happen, and it just doesn't work. So
he needs to call Hillary.
Help him. So, so we're gonna help. We're gonna help this guy, and we have a few other coals in the fire that we'll be working on. But as I was sharing last night, I woke up excited because this is just an incredible opportunity. He said, Dale. He said the high school, it flooded down there. The high school is literally a block and a half away from where we were feeding. The high school flooded. It's not finished drying out. They still got about 2 weeks left. So this is an open door opportunity. He said the junior high school has been splitting time with the high school. In other words, the junior high kids go from 7:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon. Then the high school goes from 12:30 to 5:30. Well, the problem is some of the junior high kids, these are younger kids, their parents are working. And so they have no place for these kids. And so Richard said, the public school, which is the junior high children to First Baptist Church of Springfield for 4 hours. He says, I've got a team down there right now that's doing a VBS thing with these kids. Imagine that. Public school is busing the kids to the church for the church to hear the gospel.
That's what they call Bible school, right?
Yeah. You can't make this stuff up. So I'm going to have the opportunity of an open line of, I have a principal, a coach, and a political landmark people that are coming in. I'm going to talk with him today. Hopefully Coach Willa and Rusty Thomas. And Jim, who's is he still a principal or an ex-principal?
No, he's a retired principal. Yep, retired.
He's retired, but I mean, imagine that you want some people to speak into the kid's life, and then I'm gonna, if this works out and he gives me the green light on this, then Rusty's sons, who are part of New Life Drama right now, and we'll bring them. I have another house that's lined up that will help host people as they come in, so we can make the team as big as we pretty much
come need. On That's- down folks come on down come on down Dale, I'm going to step on you a little bit because you're breaking up, but we're getting it. But folks, listen, there's just all types of ministry opportunities down there, and this ain't about Donald Trump making America great again. It's an opportunity we have in Springfield, Louisiana, to make the church great again. That's really that. Remember this: all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And if we cannot miss this opportunity, Scripture is very clear that in order It's Isaiah 56, although it might be 58 and it could be 60. I'm one of those in there. It's very clear that scripture says that you will never be able to minister to, I'm paraphrasing, you'll never be able to minister to their spirits, to their soul, until you minister to their physical needs. And when you minister to their physical needs, it opens them up to receiving the gospel. See, they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Once you begin to minister to their physical needs, their heart becomes open. They say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You say, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. And so we're trying to lead not with the gospel. We don't try to lead with the Bible. We try to lead with helping them with their physical needs. By the way, exactly what the church should do and be. If you just tell somebody, be filled and be warm and good luck to you, that ain't no gospel. That's no gospel at all. You can go down there and you cram gospel tracts down people's throats all you want to. When they come by, 400 of them come by and they eat Dale Socia's free sloppy joes, they step back and they think, what is making, why are these people doing this? It's living out of the gospel of Jesus. And I would encourage anybody who's listening or watching right now, come with us. Rich is going to leave on Sunday. Rich is going to be down there all next week. I'm going to come in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the next week. Larry's coming. And Dale's already told you, we've got room for 20, 30 people. Whatever, we'll find room for you. Right, Dale? We will find room for these people to stay in a good, clean environment with showers and air conditioning. We will find a place for you to stay. And you don't have to go to Haiti. You don't have to go to Guatemala. You don't have to go to the Dominican Republic. You can stay right here in the good old U.S. of A. and go and minister to people who are hurting and share in their physical needs and minister the gospel of Jesus to them. Live the gospel before them.
Amen.
This ain't hard, baby. It ain't hard. And it will be a life-changing experience. So if you want to go, you say, Coach, I don't know. What do I do? I can't get there. You email me. I suppose that's the best way to do it. I got this new email set up, Jared, but I can never figure out how to get to it. Coach@ptsalt.com. Coach@ptsalt.com. Say, I heard you today, Coach. I want to go. I don't know what to do. Help me out here, and we'll set you up. We're going to be there. You're going to see on the guys on the queue. You're going to see many of them in Louisiana again next week. We'd love for you to be part of it. Anything else to add there, Pastor Dale?
Absolutely. This is a heart-gripping testimony. In July, when we were up in Wichita, remember the Baton Rouge police officers that were ambushed? Three of them killed. One of them was shot. I was laying on the street. He is in a coma, bedside. I get a daily report, and we pray for him every day. His house was flooded in Denham Springs. So here's this guy, you know. We were in contact with him and been in contact. You know, it looks like I'm gutting, but we're having an opportunity back together.
Dale, you're breaking up on us, man. We can't hear you at all. So wherever you were, you had a better reception.
My cheap internet.
So anyway, you're ministering to this cop that was ambushed. Is that right, Dale?
This cop that was ambushed, who's in his dead every single day. Every single day he sends reports. His house is not gutted, and so we have put the branch out to gut his house. Not only to gut it, but to re-sheet rock it, tape it, float it, mud it, do the floors, do all that free of cost. And then we also last night ministering to the police officers in the Springfield area. Their houses were flooded. This cop I was speaking with last night literally was weeping, so grateful for what we're doing there. In the Hammond Police Department, 26 police officers' houses were flooded. This thing is affecting everybody. It has opened up the doors of opportunity by us being down there feeding, as we were feeding almost every single day now. One of the teams have backed out. But these people know we're there. We've got repeat.
Man, Making the church great again. Dale's breaking up. We're making the church great again. What a great option. Now listen to me. Send us some money. Send us some money. Listen to me. Send us some money. You can go to CoachDaveLive.com and send us some money. Pastor Dale can attest to the fact that the money that was given to us was given to you last week. Yes or no, Pastor Dale?
Absolutely. And we're getting ready to buy several hundred sheets of sheetrock.
Send us some money. You say, those guys are always asking for money. You tell me, so okay, do me a favor. Go buy a bunch of sheetrock and send us the sheetrock in. Keep your money or do it however you want to. But we have an opportunity to make a big difference down there. And our brother, he has given the last 3 weeks of his life to this. It's an hour drive for Dale to get up there every day. Rich knows it. Hey, Rich, I just got a text. Chad's coming. Coming there. Oh, my goodness. Lord. So anyway, listen, I don't want to get camped on this. Yes, Roger.
Can I ask Dale a question?
Sure.
Dale, can you hear me okay?
I think he can, Roger. It's just a delay on his end. Yes.
Dale, tell me a little bit about, I'm just curious, we're about, what, 4 or 5 weeks post the flood? He may not be able to hear me.
Let me see. Are you there, Dale?
It's not a big deal. Go ahead.
Go ahead and say it, Roger, because, you know, I got a little information. By the way, Wayne, thank you. Jared, Isaiah 58:10, Pastor Wayne jumped in here for us. I pulled up there real quick. I want to show you that. Go ahead and finish what you want to say, Roger.
Dave, what I'm curious about, and I'm not curious just to blame or point fingers, but it sounds like we're about 4 or 5 weeks past the flood, maybe a little longer. Is there other church activity? There's got to be huge churches down there.
Right.
Is it kind of faded and they're just kind of taking care of their own? Or are there other churches out doing things at all? Or
can you answer that, Dale? Roger wants to know, Dale, have any churches arisen down there yet other than just you? Are God's people hitting the streets?
Absolutely. And I want to tell you something. This is bigger than my little needle of an eye. 106,000 homes are affected. 170,000 to 180,000 people. Now, there has been many ministries that are involved. There are many ministries that are still involved. The problem is, a lot of people that I know personally, their churches that were open up in Phoenix have stopped. Not feeding anymore.
They
went to split. They went to split. They took off our
shoes. Hide these kids.
Dale, you're breaking up on us, Dale. It's not true. So, you know, I'm sorry. But I get it. Other churches are beginning to awaken. Yes, they are beginning to awaken. Listen, I got to say this. Listen to me. There are those of you right now who are listening to this show, watching this show. There are some of you who are going to watch this show later on the archive or listen to it later on the archive. Do me a favor. Go to your church and get your men's group and organize a trip down to Louisiana. We have a place you can stay. We have a place that will give you free food. We will take care of everything while you're down there on the ground. There are hundreds of people who are watching this right now, men who are sitting in old, dead churches. Go to your pastor this weekend and say, Pastor, I want to organize a trip of men down to Louisiana. This ain't hard, man. This ain't hard. And you may find there'll be some great fruit. Once you begin to serve, you may find there's going to be great fruit that's going to come out of it for your church as a result of it. So you're hearing me. You say, well, I can't go this weekend. Okay, maybe you can't go this weekend. What about next weekend? What about 2 weekends from now? What about 3 weekends from now? I'm going to tell you, you heard Dale say, 110,000 homes. 110,000 homes. Who's going to repair these things? Who's going to help these people? Dale told us last week that the end result of this, guys, is they're going to be homeless. They're going to be people destitute and on the street. They didn't have insurance. They lost everything. Their houses are a mess. Some of their jobs are gone. What is going to happen to these people? Now, we can turn to FEMA. We can turn to the Red Cross. We can if we want to. or we can let the church be great again. So I'll make that appeal. Get you get an org, a group going at your church, you get a hold of me, and we'll get you set up with Pastor Dale, plug you in, give you a place to go. Cool. Isaiah 58. Are you guys there? This, to me, is one of the most missed parts of all Scripture. I had a good friend of mine, used to be a waiter, worked at Bob Evans. This is what he told me. He hated Sunday mornings. He hated Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoon, lunchtime. He worked at Bob Evans. He says, because all the Christians came in, and they all left the track, and nobody left a tip. Somebody say amen. Christians come in, they leave a dollar tip in a track. And we do, and even though we know that this is a spiritual war that we're fighting, unfortunately, my friends, it's fought in a natural realm. Isaiah 58, verse 10. Is it 58? Yeah, I think it is. Thanks, Wayne, by the way. Thanks. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then thy light rush, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and that darkness be as noonday. That one was I was looking for, Wayne. Let's see. I'm sorry. Go up to 7. So go up to 5. Let's go up to 4, Jared. I don't want us to miss the flow of this. Let's get right there. Isaiah 58:1. Cry loud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. He's talking to Christians now. Blow the trumpet and show my people where they're missing it. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. So they got a great relationship with the Lord. They think they do. They get up and they do their devotions in the morning and they say their prayers. And they go around praising the Lord all day long. But Isaiah says, why have we fasted? Wherefore means why. Why have we fasted, say they, and you don't see us, Lord? Why have we afflicted our soul, and you don't take any notice of it, Lord? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure in exact all of your labors, Isaiah says. Listen, you're thinking you're getting brownie points for fast. You guys make me sick, he says. Behold, you fast for strife and argument and debate. You fast to smite with the fist of wickedness, but you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So I ain't going to hear that crap. I'm not going to hear that baloney. Is it such a fast that I've chosen? He says, are you doing it because you want to do it, or are you doing it because I ask you to? Is this the way I want it to be done, Isaiah says? The Lord says to Isaiah, is not this the fast that I have chosen? I'm sorry. I missed it. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? He says, is that what I want you to do? Afflict your soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes and, oh, woe is me. I'm sacrificing for the Lord here. Oh, I'm just, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, Isaiah says? To loose the bands of wickedness? She says, you want to see people set free? You want to see the bands of wickedness loosed in the lives of people? Then you're going to have to loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, the things that are holding them down, like their house is underwater. They lost everything. And to let the oppressed go free, and that breaks every yoke. He says, you really want to do a fast? It's really going to make a difference? Okay, he says. 7. How about this? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? How about that one, boys, he says? That thou bring the poor that are cast out, bring him into your house? Larry already volunteered to do that. And when you see him naked, you clothe him? That thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? He says, you do that, man. You start to reach the physical needs of people, verse 8. Then shall the light break forth as the morning. And the health and your health shall spring forth speedily, and the righteous shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be the reward. And then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, and the pointing of the finger, speaking vanities, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. That's pretty clear to me. Until you meet their physical needs, they ain't worried about the spiritual ones. They don't want to hear a Bible verse when their baby's hungry. And so that's the whole idea. Now, those of you who are listening and watching right now, you know this. I'm a rip-roaring, let's go knock them down kind of guy. But I understand a damaged, wounded soul and how you minister to a damaged, wounded soul. You meet their needs. You meet their needs. That's the opportunity we have. Anybody want to jump in here? I love this show because it never is what I think it's going to be when I get up. Anything to add, Dale? Anything else?
Well, if I don't go to sounding like Chinese over there.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for the team coming in. Look, brother, you know, the it takes money. It takes manpower. And, you know, my little church of 30 people, we have fed over 11,000 people, not to mention all the cleaning supplies. You know me, Rusty Thomas knows me. We have vitally committed. We have committed every penny back to go back. We have incredible, scrupulous people who monitor our books. The IRS executive officer. So when I say that we have to cross our, and you're a faithful man, you have committed. Listen, we don't fly around in jets. We drive around in broken down cars or ride a donkey to get to the show. But we're there, we're doing it, and we're having a great opportunity to minister to these people. Once again, having repeat people come in through there, God is opening up the door, and we are making a footprint in that community.
Amen.
And I'm appreciating everybody coming down. So come on down. We got some good fixings down here too.
So Pastor Wayne, I know you're listening out there somewhere in there, Paul. I was just looking on my phone, tried to find it. Paul tells us to commit to faithful men. Commit to faithful men. See, not to commit, listen to me, not to commit to big business. Don't commit to Red Cross. Don't commit to FEMA. You commit to faithful men. Come on, Pastor Wayne, I'm counting on you. Where is that scripture? Commit to faithful men. Dale Socha is a faithful man. Rich is a faithful man. Faithful men. What about the faithful men? Oh, somebody's already finding it. 2 Timothy 2, how about that? Let's go there real quick. Hey, while you're looking, I hear you. Listen, you hear me. Somebody out to say, okay, enough of this flood stuff. Come on, coach, can't we get into some meat? You just missed the meat. There's a steak sitting in front of you, and you can't even see it. Why can't you see it? I know why. Because you're worried about feeding you. You want to get you fed. So I turn in the morning to get fed. Really? Well, God bless you. Therefore, my son, 2 Timothy 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ alone, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Good soldier, hard soldier. How about that? Hardness, soldier. A good soldier endures hardness. And then when you do that, what are you going to be able to do? You're going to be a faithful man. He's going to be able to teach others. Huh? No man that is worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. Quit hanging on to all the stuff you got. That's the affairs of this life. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There it is again. And if a man also strive for mastery, he yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband of that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Yada, yada, yada. On and on and on and on and on and on. Dale Soch is a faithful man. Rich Smith's a faithful man. Stephen.
Hi, Pastor Dale. I just want to sit there and encourage anybody, if you're young, I would really take in what you see if you have a chance to go down there. It's a blessing, and I was blessed down there, and I appreciate you guys bringing forth that hospitality towards me and being able to set an example for me to see what I can do on my own personal life and growing, and being able to, if something happens in my society, though I'm not equipped with skills, I do appreciate the fact that this is a genuine, sincere, and true joy that I've never personally experienced in my own walk with Christ for the past 2 years. It's so good to see the church out on the streets rather than stuck in four.
Amen, amen.
Praise God. I was highly blessed, and I encourage anybody who's listening to this that you will be highly blessed. And I watched where that the finances. I'm not one to coach knows how I feel about finances, but I encourage people that these men right here are faithful, and I appreciate where my finances go over there to them.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here we go, Jared. Find this one for me, Luke. Jared, Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Oh boy. This is good stuff. See, some of you're waiting for the meat. You're waiting for the meat. You're not even enjoying the appetizer. Look at this. Verse 38 of Luke 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Boys, that there be a law. That there be a kingdom principle. Remember we talked about the gospel of the kingdom of God, that there are certain rules that apply in the kingdom that don't apply in the world. That it's usually upside down. We always want to receive. The Lord said, no, give. You want to receive, give. You want to go up, go down. You want to be loved? Love. Right? Law of sowing and reaping? Do I sound like one of those TV evangelists yet? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall who give into your bosom? Men. You give. There's a natural law that applies when you give. Other men are going to give to you. So men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it's going to be measured back to you again. Now, I don't want to go down there. Dale tried to get me last time I was down there to go by and see Jesse Duplantis' big house down there. Dale lives down there real close to Jesse Duplantis. I know there's probably a lot of good Jesse Duplantis fans out there. He ought to sell that place and help those people. A real Christian would sell that place, would sell his mansion and help those people in Springfield. Does anybody think I'm wrong? Does anybody think, wait a minute, whoa. I'll ask you a better question. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus sell his house and go help those people in Springfield? See, it goes back to what I started out with, the star complex. See, God bless Jesse Duplantis, but he thinks he's a star.
Jesus never owned a house in the first place to sell.
That's right. He owned the whole place. He didn't need a house, Larry. He owned it all. Anyway, he knew that. Just kidding. But see, it's a principle. Give. A man's a fool who tries to hang on to what he can't keep. I've never seen a Brinks truck follow a hearse. And we hold on and we hold on and we hold on and we miss this blessing of being able to give. So I'm not trying to pull money out of you, but give. We'll get it to Dale and he'll get it to the people who need it. And if you know Jesse Duplantis, call him, tell him we need a little bit of that money. Some of that name and claim. Call Kenneth, what's his name, Copeland?
Copeland.
He is, did you know this, fellas? He is a billionaire. By his own admission, he is a billionaire. Now, if he's a billionaire, Shouldn't some of that billion, if I had a billion, I'd be down there handing out. I'd be helping people. How can I help you? How can I help you? But see, that's, oh well. Anybody, for the good of the group here. Give and it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give unto you, but for the same amount that you give, when you need it, it'll be there if you give. But if you don't give when you need it, you is on your own.
There's a good scripture, Coach, in 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Okay. Where is it, Ben? 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Yeah.
Say, come on, Coach, get to the meat. I'm tired of that flood talk. Well, go listen to somebody else. 1 Timothy chapter 6?
Yeah. I start with verse 6, but wherever you may want to.
1 Timothy 6, is that what you're saying?
Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6.
Okay.
Speaking about these prosperity gospels and these people and about finances, it says verse 6, if you want to read it.
You can. You're doing great.
It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be, it says will be, rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then it goes on and on.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. Ah.
But look at the next verse.
I used to be so stingy. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. You say, well, Coach, if I give $100, boy, I feel like a TV evangelist today. It ain't for me. It isn't for me. Coach, if I give, I'd love to give more. Coach, if I do that, I won't be able to pay my bills. Well, then you just missed the entire thing we just read. He just missed it. That's why those evangelists say, send us $100 and the Lord will give you $1,000. And I always thought to the evangelist, send me $1,000 and I'll give you $100. So they know it's a scam. We're not going to scam it. We're not going to scam it. Okay, I'll quit talking about that. Thanks, Dale, for all you do. And we're going to send you some more teams. And I know that you're a faithful man and we're going to commit to faithful men. And we're going to do the best we can to come down there and help you, man. But no, Dale, I'm not going to go sell everything I own and give to you. Even though I just read that's probably what I should do. Really, it's probably what I should do. It's probably what I ought to do. I'm going to really walk the walk, talk the talk. The Lord has more disaster than we have relief. Unless he's blessing the works of our hands. Guys, you can lose all your money tomorrow. Through some type of financial calamity, an illness, a wreck, who knows? Or, like I said to a lot of the people down there, when I'd stick my head in their car, pray for them, I said, well, look, here's the way I see it. These are people who just lost everything. Here's the way I see it. All of your stuff could still be here, and you could be gone. But instead, you're still here, and your stuff is gone. Which one would you rather have? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Oh, my goodness. Do I want to go there, Lord? Yeah, okay, I'll go there. Ecclesiastes. Hey, Roger, I had the best show scheduled for today. Not that this one's been bad. I'll save all this stuff, and I'll hammer you with it tomorrow. But this blew me away. Ecclesiastes. Steve Menking, if you listen to that later on, Steve, I want to talk to you about, we want to do maybe another thing on what's going on with global finances. I think it's important. But I want to show you something in Ecclesiastes, if I can find it here in my daggone Bible. Ecclesiastes, there he is, he's hiding. 7. Stephen brought this up, and then my wife and I sat down and read it together afterwards. Wow. Wow. We don't really believe the Bible. Hey, we don't really believe the Bible. Or we believe parts of it. Are you ready? Wow. Wow. Lord, help us to grasp this. Right now, Lord, help us to grasp this. That your word is true. It's true. Every bit of it's true. You wouldn't lie to us. You wouldn't deceive us. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. Are you kidding me? What? The day I die will be more glorious than the day I'm born? He must have been drinking or something. Joel Osteen's telling us to have our best life now. Ecclesiastes said, no, no, no. The best day is the day you die. Well, how many of you believe that? I wish I believed it. I wish I believed it more. Well, that must be a glorious thing, huh? We're fearful of death. It must be a glorious thing. I use this illustration. Like a little baby inside its mommy's womb. Got another one coming. Got another grandbaby coming. And that little baby's in there sucking on his thumb, and it's all warm, and the temperature is just perfect, and it eats food, doesn't even know it's eating, and it just listens to everything that's going on. And then all of a sudden, 9 months into this, violent earthquake starts, and this baby gets so tense. What's going on? What's going on? Ah! And all of a sudden, blast him out into this world, and there's light, and there's sound, and he's screaming and hollering, and wow! Baby had no idea that this world existed. Death must be the same way. We must die and say, wow! Right? Wow! Man, it's better to go to the house of mourning. Let me do this again. It's better to go to those in Springfield, Louisiana who've lost everything. Then go to Jesse Duplantis' house. For that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. You ready, boys? Sorrow is better than laughter. It's better to be helping those people fix their houses up than going to Southern Decadence down there in New Orleans. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Oh, this is so much deeper than we can even grasp. Wow. The heart of the wise, my goodness, lives in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of celebration and mirth and partying. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise and for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, wow, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity. Wow. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and the gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Don't you dare say, what's the cause that the former days were better than these days? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is a good inheritance. And by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. consider the work of God. For who can make that straight, which he hath made crooked? Wow, what a picture that is. How can you straighten out what God made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in your day of adversity, consider God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perish in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? I could go on and on. But we got it upside down, boys. We got it upside down. Great opportunity. Super. Hey, anybody out there? I've yacked the whole time. I'm going to shift gears a little bit real quickly if I can. Larry, fill us in on Pete Santilli. Larry, as you know, had an organization called Ranchers Lives Matters trying to get people, because the trial for the Bundy boys and everything has started out in Oregon, and a big development yesterday. Larry, fill us all in on what up. Pete Santilli, who, by the way, I know Pete, is from Cincinnati. And Pete is like me. He was a shock jock. That's what they call us. He was a Christian shock jock. Pete Santilli got involved a little bit when we were working with Ken Hovind. So I have a connection with Pete Santilli. We're not great buddies. But he's been in jail 7.5 months.
Pete was out there and as part of the, quote, occupation of the Marler Reserve. He was involved, you know, he was part of that movement. And he was arrested on a bogus weapons charge. And day before yesterday, the federal government dropped the weapons charge and all charges in the Oregon situation. Pete is still facing charges down in Nevada, referenced the Bundy Bunkerville thing back in 2013, I think it was. So he's still facing stuff down there in Nevada. But the stuff and the bogus charges they put against him to keep him in jail for 7.5 months without bail, trying to pressure him into pleading guilty, fell apart because the federal government dropped those charges day before yesterday.
They're liars and they're crooks, Larry. In fact, I heard from Gavin Syme that they offered Pete Santilli a plea deal.
Oh, yeah. There's about nine people out there took the plea deals they offered because they had been in jail for months and months. And I know what it's like to sit in jail waiting for a trial.
And they just want to get out. So they'll take a plea deal just to get out. And they offered Pete Santilli a misdemeanor charge. And they would have released him. And he says, shove it. I didn't do it.
I don't hold anything against those nine people that have taken their plea deals, because I know the pressures of what it is to have a family on the outside and you're sitting in there and your family is just falling apart because you can't do anything about it. But
Pete Santilli's a man, boys. Pete Santilli's a man.
But I know the reason. The reason those nine people or so accepted the plea deal is because of oppressive totalitarian tactics employed by our government. I am sick that our government has turned into what it has turned into.
Well, Larry, funny that we only have about 7 minutes left, because that was exactly what I was going to talk about here this morning. So that'll be a great lead-in to tomorrow. We're not done today, but that's a great lead-in to what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Because listen, folks, oh, Lord, I feel like a broken record, but I'm going to continue to say it. Until we understand what we are fighting, we will never figure out how to win. And if we think that we are just fighting against evil men, God, they're my knower's working again. Hey, Jared, I got my knower working. Here's what I know. I said this yesterday. The New World Order, call it whatever you want to. If you don't think that the devil has a team striving for very control of the world, I don't even know what to say to you. If you can't, if you aren't smart enough to figure that out, if you still think it's Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, if you are still stuck on it's between Rachel Maddow and Sean Hannity, if that's where you are stuck, I don't even know what to say. It's so much bigger than that. And an amazing thing is happening. I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. These coughing episodes of Hillary are spiritual in nature. Everybody's talking about her physical condition. I'm telling you, it is spiritual in nature. Hey, you take in enough of them demons and they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. And this coughing that's going on, there's something spiritual. The Lord is exposing to us something if we will just have eyes to see and ears to hear. And isn't it funny? Jesus warned us against that. You got eyes and can't see, and you got ears and can't hear. He's talking about spiritual stuff. He's not talking about physical. See what's going on here? Can't you see that? Say what you want. There are unbelievably powerful demonic forces at work in the higher echelons of our government. I'm going to take you on a real quick journey. I only got 2 minutes, and then I'll try to pick up on it tomorrow. From the day Barack Obama became president, stay with me, for the next 8 years, the Democratic Party did not mention anybody as a presidential candidate other than Hillary. There wasn't even, all Bernie Sanders came out there, but that was, they weren't going to let Bernie Sanders win. No other respectable Democrat stepped forward. Hillary was ordained, stamped the approval, if you will, by those evil spirits in high places. And somewhere out of nowhere, this other force came in. And it has totally screwed up the New World Order's plans. They don't want Trump to be president. They want Hillary to be president. They want somebody on their team to be president. And if we don't see that and understand the spiritual significance of what's going on, that this wrestling that we're talking about, maybe it's the prayers of the saints, millions and millions of Christians who are praying against those evil spirits. Maybe it's having an impact. But I want to preface this to let you know that tomorrow Friday, I lose track of time. That's crazy, my life. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about, guys, girls, we're almost to 911 again. You know that? What is today? We're 3 days from 911. Been a lot of stuff that's happened on 911. I'm here to tell you, listen, call me a nut, put your tinfoil hat back on, Kevin, say whatever you want to. I'm going to tell you something. Those dark forces are not going to let Trump be president. They're going to do everything they can to prevent him from being president. To the point, I got something. You don't want to miss tomorrow. You don't want to miss tomorrow. To the point of doing something cataclysmic in the world or to America that will stop the election from going forward. Now, that's the ultimate tinfoil hat, okay? That's the ultimate tinfoil hat. But I'm telling you that the devil ain't going to give this up easy. And there are times that are coming for us that those of us who carry the name of Christ, we had better be aware, awake, and understanding. And to be able to share with those around us that we love the need to look up. I'm going to talk about, I don't want to give it all away. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. Larry and Rich and Dale and all of them, I told you this 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witchel witch, the wicked witch, ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. She will not make it to November, and they're panicked. They got nobody. Well, they do have somebody, and he's sitting in the White House. Don't miss tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then.